This is the FVCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, Discipleship, Part 2. The discipleship process is designed to help you put your faith and your works together. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
On December the 31st, I shared in the evening services what our focus is going to be for 2024. It is launched or rooted in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I forgot to tell you, look at your neighbor and say, it's Bible study today. Since you don't come to Bible study, the pastor bring Bible study to you. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, amongst it, in the midst of that, it says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That word baptizing means immersing people in the presence and knowledge of God, of the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what our passion and goal is for 2024 is to put our discipleship program on steroids. Yeah, we pulling out all the stops. Yesterday, the other day, last week, I did something I never did before. I watched a football game that I already knew what the outcome of the game was going to be. I watched the replay of the Baltimore Ravens versus the Miami Dolphins. I had watched the game live, and the result was so great, I watched it again on replay. Thank the three or four Ravens fans that are in here. I did that because I enjoyed it. I knew what the play was going to be every play that came up. And I said to myself, watch this. And I enjoyed it. I watched it again, even though I knew what the outcome was going to be. But some of y'all know I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. Amen. Thank you. They didn't play the starters. They played the backup people in preparation for them going into the playoffs when they will bring out the starters. 2024, we're bringing out the starters at the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. Yeah, we are seeking to make disciples, and we're trying to do two things. Here's the two things I'm trying to do that I feel the Lord impressed upon my heart for us to do. I feel the Lord has challenged us to do two things. One, to make sure that every member of this church has been discipled. Every member of this church has been discipled. So we're going to put the press on. We're putting the press. We're going to be asking you, what discipleship program have you taken? What have you completed? We're going to be pressing you about that because that's the command that Jesus gave us. It was not a suggestion. How many of y'all know that Jesus is not into suggestions? It's a command. He said, make disciples. Go therefore, he says. He says, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth, and I command you to go and make disciples of all nations, he says, Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so we're going to do that. We want to make sure, number one, every member of our church has been through at least one of our multitude of discipleship programs. We have a lot of discipleship programs. We got men discipleship, women discipleship, couples discipleship, single discipleship, young adult discipleship, youth discipleship, children discipleship, financial discipleship. We can go on and on and on. We are a discipleship church, and I believe that's one of the reasons God has blessed our church, because we focus on discipleship. And so we're going to be a discipleship manufacturer. And I'm going to be asking you. So here's what, you know, when people see me in the mall, or they see me at the store, or they see me out and about, and they come and say, I'm a member of your church. My first question is, what ministry are you in? I'm shifting that question. What discipleship program have you completed? Y'all didn't say amen on that one. Yeah, that's the question I'm going to be asking from now. So I'm probably going to shut down people coming and greeting me when they see me at different places. But it's okay. This is what I feel is God's command to me that we need to do to find out what discipleship program you've committed. That's number one, we're called to do it. Number two, we're called not only to find out what, I'm going to ask what discipleship program you've been in. My second question is, who have you discipled? Who have you taken under your wings and shared with them what God has shared with you? Go ahead and ask your neighbor that question. Who have you discipled? Go ahead, ask the person sitting next to you. Wait for an answer. Now, if the person sitting next to you don't have nobody to tell you, just point to them like that. Just. Yeah, you know, one day we're going to have to stand before the Lord. Do y'all know that? One day we will have to stand before God, and the question is going to be asked, well, what did we do, what he has taught us? Number one, have we been discipled? Number one, did we take the time? Did we carve out the time? Did we take the energy? Did we put it on our schedule? Did we shut down from going to our aerobics class for one day? Did we cut out one of our meetings of our Alpha Kappa, whatever the things is. What is it? What these fraternities, sororities that y'all are so dedicated and faithful and committed to? What have you done to advance God's kingdom? We're going to have to answer to God for that one day. Do y'all know that? We're going to have to answer to God. Y'all are not going to be able to go up to the Lord and say, well, the pastor didn't tell me. No, you're not. Because I'm telling you right now, this is what our job and our responsibility is. I'm challenging you and pressing you and pushing you to understand that this is the command that Jesus gave us. When he departed and went up, he said, this is what it is. Now, over the next several weeks, it's probably going to be a couple months. I'm going to teach. This is going to be Bible study on Sunday morning. If you don't like teaching, this ain't the place to come. We didn't have enough preaching this week to last us for a while. I mean, them jokers preached their necks off every night. Woo! It was great. It was amazing. It was fantastic. But I'm going to be teaching you. Most of it's going to be stuff we've already taught. I've taught it already once before, years ago. But I figure if the choir can sing the same song again, the pastor can sing, can preach. I'm going to be teaching you today. I'm going to tell you who to teach, who to disciple. How do you know who you should be pouring into? I'm glad you asked the question. Therefore, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's my text for today. And I already burnt up 15 minutes just setting the stage. Oh, that's my introduction. Take your time, sir. For real. 2 Timothy chapter 2, The Apostle Paul writes to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And he's writing from the confines of a prison. He's in prison, and he's writing to his ministerial son, Timothy, and he's giving him some instructions. He's encouraging Timothy. He's warning Timothy. He's giving Timothy some direction. And as a matter of fact, what he gives him in these epistles that he writes to them are instructions on how to be a good pastor. How, sir? And one of the things he says is in chapter 2. Did I say 2 Timothy chapter 2? Did I tell you that? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And what I'm going to be preaching from today is teaching from today is verse 2. 2:2:2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2:2:2. Triple twos. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Oh, that right there, that one verse is the discipleship program. That is it right there. It's just laid out. He tells them in one verse, insightful, powerful, amazing. In that one verse, he's given him the instructions on discipleship. Let me reiterate what I said to you on New Year's Eve. God didn't call us to make believers. He called us to make disciples. There's a difference between being a believer and a disciple. The Bible teaches us that the devil believes, but he don't do. Yeah, he knows Jesus is alive and well. He knows that he's real. You don't have to convince him of that, but he cannot follow and do what it is Jesus tells him to do. And as a matter of fact, here's what the scripture tells us. We're told to disciple people, and the disciple process is when we get people to exercise their faith by their works. If you say you believe, then it ought to be demonstrated by your works, your actions, your behavior. 1 John 1:6 says this. Listen to this. 1 John 1:6. Write it down, because I know y'all go and read all of the verses I give y'all. When church is over, y'all go home and y'all meditate on the verses I give y'all on Sunday morning. Amen. Here's what 1 John 1:6 says. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with God, but we're walking in darkness, we are liars. You know, when I was growing up, we could not use the word liar. That was a bad word. Anybody else here grew up where liar was a bad word? My mother would smack your mouth if you said liar. Today's young kids, they use language that we would never be able to use when I was growing up. But now that I'm a man, I put away childish things. I don't have to call you a storyteller. Yeah, we have to say, oh, Ma, he telling a story. That's what we have to say. Ma, so-and-so is telling a story. We couldn't say liar. But the Bible calls you a liar. There's a liar on your row. Look up and down your row and see if you can figure out who the liars are. Go ahead. Look both sides. Now, the people who are looking straight ahead, they're hoping ain't nobody looking at them. First John 2:4 says same thing. 1 John 2:4 says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if you say you are a follower of Jesus and a disciple of the Lord, but it's not reflected in how you live your life, the scripture calls you a liar. But when Paul gives these instructions to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, I love this right here, this is powerful. He says, the things that you have heard, the things. See, the part of the process of discipleship are sharing the things that you've heard from God, the truth that God has taught us. What did God teach us? How to love, how to fast, how to pray, how to forgive, how to serve, how to give, how to make our marriage right, how to have true wealth, how to judge, how not to judge others, how to walk in truth. Teach us about heaven, about hell, about healing, about life. It goes on and on and on. The things. The problem in the world today is we have adopted our life to follow after the things that the world has taught us. That people who, that humans have taught us and not what God has taught us. Go on and preach, Pastor. I'm doing the best I can. If you do your life according to what God says, you'll have favor. If you do your life according to what the scriptures teach you, you'll be victorious. If you do your life and live your life according to what the Bible teaches you to do, God will be with you always. He'll fight your battles. He'll open up doors that no man can close. He'll close doors he doesn't want you going through. How many of y'all have gone through some doors that you wish you had not have gone through? He'll close those doors so they won't be a temptation to you. He says, the things that you have heard from me, he says right here, the things. And then he tells us this. Watch this. I'm almost starting. He said, the things that you have heard from me. Somebody say heard.
Heard.
Tell your neighbor, heard.
Heard.
Ask your neighbor, can you hear? Did you hear? Listen carefully, y'all. Listen to what I'm trying to teach you today. Hear me. He says, the things you've heard from me. Here's what he is saying. He is saying the word hear means to give audience to give attention to understand, to give weight. Some of you need to demonstrate to God that you're listening. Because I learned that people could be sitting right up in front of you, looking at you, but on another planet. Let me see, I called out a song at the first service. What did that song say? What is it? What's the word? Oh, yeah. Say it again, I forgot already. Your body is here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. See, some of these people are looking at me, but their mind is elsewhere. Therefore, they ain't heard. They can't hear. You can't hear if you're looking, but your mind is elsewhere. We got to show, listen, let me tell you something. It's important for you to indicate to God that you're here. That you're listening. That you are paying attention to. How do you do that? One of the ways you do it is you take notes. We are a note-taking church. We are a note-taking church, that's correct. We might not do what we took notes on. But we take notes, and that's great. I think that's good, because eventually what you have taken notes on, I believe it's going to come and wake you up, and I believe since you've taken notes, somewhere it's going to cause you to want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. So first of all, my first challenge to us as disciples is to hear. This church, we make it possible and available to teach you the word of God. We are a word-teaching church. We are not a church. When you come in here, I open up the Bible, read a scripture, close the book, and go talk about something else. That's not what we do. Whatever scripture I read, I try to preach right from that scripture and teach you what that scripture says. That is not the case at all churches. What am I saying? I'm saying you have available to you the truth of God's word. We are teaching you the Bible. And I don't know where y'all are, but I believe that this book is the word of God. Matter of fact, I seen my life change because of what's in this book. I've been delivered because of what's in this book. My life and my family and my home and my kids has been better because of what's in this book. And your life will be better, and your family would be better, and your marriage will be better, and your finances would be better, and your heart would be better, and your life would be better if you just do what's in this book. And so he says, what you have heard, the things you have heard, and we are teaching you the things. That's what all of our discipleship programs are about, is what you heard. But hold up. He doesn't stop there. That's the first part. There are four key words here, four verbs here that I want to read to you, that I want to focus on today. The first one is hear. The second one is, he says, and the things that you heard from me among many witnesses, commit these. Somebody say commit. There's the next word, commit. What does it mean? The word commit, I'm glad you asked the question. It means to present it. It means to place it alongside, to put a deposit and make it, cause it to come alongside of the persons that you're talking to. In your own self, make it come alongside yourself and alongside other people. Commit these, he says. Commit, and I love this verse right here. I love it because it's given us the discipleship program. Commit these to faithful men. Commit. Bring it alongside. Make a deposit. God has called you to take what you have learned and what you've been exposed to and what you have heard and cause it and give it to people that they can bring it alongside of them. See, when you bring the truth up alongside of you, your life will be better. You'll live a victorious life. You'll see God work miracles for you. That's all we're saying. Bring it alongside. You got to bring some stuff alongside. How many of y'all ever made some stupid decisions? One, two. Okay. We've all made bad choices. We've all made decisions that we say, we look back and say, what was I thinking? Y'all ever done that? So what was I thinking? Commit. Bring alongside. That's the part of the whole discipleship process, to bring alongside people what it is that the scripture is teaching us to do. Then it says this. Committed to faithful men. Y'all say faithful. There's the third word, faithful. Men that can be trusted. Faithful. They'd have demonstrated. Here's what he's telling us to do. Because ultimately, he's defining for us who to make the deposits with. Who do you spend time making the deposits with? Find somebody who's faithful. Yeah. Faithful. Dedicated. Yeah. Faithful. Find somebody who has made it to more than two or three Sundays in a row. Excuse me. Find some people who show that they can be depended upon. That's faithful. When we started our program, our discipleship program at the church, when I first became the pastor of the church, here's how we started our discipleship program. I selected seven men that I believe were faithful. Seven men. And I invited them to come alongside with me through a discipleship program. It would be 3 years, Saturday mornings, 7 a.m. How many of y'all know if we made an announcement and said, we're going to have a discipleship program that lasts 3 years that meets 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, sign up in the back? Ain't nobody signing up for that. But instead, I invited them to come into that discipleship, and they came, and they completed it. And at the end of the 7 years, I asked them to tell me some faithful men that they knew. And so they gave me the names of some faithful men, and I invited them to come to it. And that's how our discipleship program got started. And that's what we continue for our brothers in discipleship. That's the way it's continued on to this day. That's how we do it. And it has birthed how it happens in our church. Now, when we did it with women, it was a little different. Women are a different breed. Come on, brothers. If the ladies ain't gonna say amen, y'all say amen. Women are a different monster. Huh? Y'all are marshmallows, not monsters. Depends on whose eyes are looking at you. So after we demonstrated that it would work with men, we did it with women. Picked a few women, took them through the program, Give us some names of some women that you found to be faithful. Get invited, and we'll invite those. And what began to happen is people started asking the question, how can I get in that program? How can I get an invitation to get into the discipleship program? And then when people didn't get invited, they said, oh, that's a click. And it is. Because we only want people in it who are willing to take it and be faithful and go through it. And it's only a click because that's what Jesus told us to do. Jesus told us to pick out and find those who are faithful and then disciple them. And what I'm saying to you today, I'm not telling y'all to try to disciple people who are not going to listen and not going to apply and not going to do. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to find some people who go to church at least two or three Sundays in a row. Find some people who have an interest in the things of God. Find some people who are willing to apply something to your life. Find some people who are willing to be doers and not just hearers of the word. Yes, we want you to find some people who will be faithful. And why is faithfulness important? Faithfulness is important because here's what Jesus says, and I'm almost finished. I always say that because I want somebody to tell me to take my time. Because if you are faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. Some of you want God to give you more money, but you ain't been faithful with the money he gave you. God wants you to be faithful in what he's already entrusted to you. And see, by the way, the way you're handling life now, the way you're handling your money now, the way you're handling your children now, the way you're handling your job now, the way you're handling your responsibilities now is demonstrating to God whether or not he can trust you at a higher level than where you are. Are you listening to me? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Faithful in much, he can trust you with more. Faithful in little, he can trust you with more. Faithful in little, he'll trust you with more. Faithful, what did I say? Faithful in little, he'll trust you with more. So you find people who are faithful in little, who are faithful, demonstrated faithfulness. And then here's number four, and I'm finished. Right here in verse number two. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Here's what Paul says. I want you to find some people who once you've taught, once you've discipled, once you've committed it to them, they will take what they've learned and they will place it alongside. They will teach others. Somebody say teach others. That word teach simply means to instruct, to give instructions. It's an action word. It's a verb. It means that you're going to teach what Jesus taught. That's all it means. And you know what? When you learn what Jesus teaches you, it changes. It's a life-altering thing. Somebody say it's a life-altering deal. Tell them on the other side, it's a life-altering deal. It's life-altering, life-altering. Your life can be altered. Your life can be different. Your life will change when you learn to be faithful and do what it is God teaches us to do. This is my burden. This is the passion. This is the assignment that God has given me. And so I'm taking y'all through pastoral class 101 this morning. Y'all gonna be new pastors, junior pastors, and not senior pastors, miniature pastors, mini pastors, little pastors. Somebody say, go ahead, tell your neighbor you're a junior pastor, not the senior pastor. And you know what church you gonna pastor? You. I want you to pastor your own self. Yeah, be in charge of managing you. Get yourself together and then take what you've learned and find somebody else to make a deposit in. Are y'all with me? Yes, sir. Amen. I'm done. I'm finished. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes.
What was my first point?
Hear.
Second?
Hear.
Third?
Hear.
Four?
Teach.
Okay. I'm going to be looking. By the way, sit down for 1 minute. No, keep standing. I'm sorry. It's 11 o'clock. I got to be finished. You know, when I'm at the store, restaurants, people come up, I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Glen Iron. And y'all know what the first question is I ask them? What ministry are you in? That question's gone. Y'all know what the new question's going to be? There you go. Y'all got it. I know y'all ain't going to be coming up and greeting me no more now.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. The kingdom requires that your faith is demonstrated by your walk. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.